Well, hello everybody. In case you're wondering, this is Kimberly. I'm Matt. She's my favorite wife. Take it, babe. So we have been on staff here at different capacities for a while. We love serving here. There's a handful of reasons why. The number one reason we love serving here is it's a presence-driven church. We desire to see the presence of God over anything else. And the reason that's a unique thing is we're okay with the presence of God changing plans, changing strategies. We just want to see the Lord touch people's lives. And so when Pastor Eddie and Pastor Mickey commissioned us to be over our 20s, our heart with this was for them to cultivate a presence-driven life. And so we want you to get to know them. We want you to get to know what makes them tick, what helps them overcome, the things they struggle with, the thing that has brought life to them from this church and what the kingdom of heaven just lays out for them. What I think is funny is I told Pastor Eddie would probably have like 7 or 8. This is often what small group is like for us. We will have about 10 say they're coming, and then we usually have about 30 show up. But we are grateful no matter what. How y'all doing?
Good.
Awesome. Kimberly, you have anything?
Let's pray. Can we pray? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you call when we answer. And Lord, I just ask that you would use the young adult voices to ignite our hearts. That you would come and just overflow what you have already done in this group, and that you would be represented well, Father. We love you and we bless you. We ask that you calm the nerves, and we would be able to speak freely in Jesus' name.
How many of y'all are nervous? How many of y'all would be nervous if you were in this situation?
Right.
Is that not fair or what? So, all right. So this is one thing I love about 20s. Number one, Kimberly and I met in our 20s. Actually, she was 17. She was in college at 17, which is weird because now my daughter is only 5 years younger than she was when I met Kimberly, and that's a weird thought for me. But we met in college, and it was such a pivotal time in our lives, right? I can think about all the insecurity that I was able to that got confronted with the gospel. I had a friend of mine one time. I was really good at memorizing things, so I'd memorized a bunch of sermons. I didn't have actual encounters with any of them, but I could memorize them. And he confronts me one day, and he's like, I think it's really great that you can memorize sermons, but when are you going to have your own encounter with God? And so I just didn't talk to him for a couple weeks because that was a mean thing to say. It's just me. And then I realized he's probably right. And so in my 20s, every morning at 5 o'clock, he showed up at my door, and we prayed together. And it set me on a path where it taught me that there is nothing in my life that is any better than having communion with God. And I was able to make decisions in my 20s that I didn't have to have certain struggles because of that. Number one, I married well. I married better than my wife did. And guys, if you want to do things well in life, marry better than your wife does. But it's a lot of those skills that we learn that we've tried to impart to them. And, you know, we have a policy with them, and it's, you know, we will always have an open door policy, and we will keep it real. And so that's been our heart with them. And so without any further ado, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself real quick. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but you have a name, and you should probably tell people what it is.
Hannah.
Oh, is that all we're supposed to say?
Sarah.
You can give something. Well, I'm just saying if you want to open up here, you can.
Oh. I am a social worker at NAMC.
I am Sarah. I also work at NAMC in the ER as a nurse.
They're related.
I'm Leah. I work at a vet's office.
I'm Micaiah, and I lead the outdoor adventure program at the University of North Alabama.
I'm Mary Grace, and I work in digital marketing.
I'm Dawson. I just recently got married to Mary Grace. And I hope I married better than my wife did too, but
you did.
I'm an independent insurance agent, so I work in health and life insurance.
I'm Drew, and I go to the University of North Alabama. I'm a sophomore.
I'm Christopher, and I'm a mechanical engineer.
I'm Davis, and I'm at my first year in college right now, and I'm working with an airline operating out of the Muscle Shoals Airport. So,
it's impressive, isn't it? Right, to see what we have represented in our church. Would you have thought that before tonight started? Right, I think it's so important, right, that you get to know them because they are up-and-coming leaders. Not some of them are not up-and-coming leaders. Some of them already are. And one thing I want to remind you of is something that I think we forget. The average age of the disciples when Jesus walked the earth, right, were between the ages of 12 and 27. So the 12 individuals who shifted the entire culture of the world to usher in the kingdom of heaven in the New Testament era were mostly the ages you have represented here. And so one thing I want to pose to you is this, right? They are worth paying attention to. And I encourage you, generation to generation, get to know them. And so my first question to you guys is this, just because I want them to know, you know, our heart and kind of what we do Friday night-wise. First question is, how did you find out about our group? And my second question is, why did you keep coming? So whoever wants to take that.
I found out about the group before everyone else, I think. Kimberly persistently messaged me on Facebook. And I mean persistently. And it hasn't let up since then, I don't think. And I pretty much didn't leave after that, after I started coming. It probably took me a year to come and then haven't left in 4 because of them and their children. So
we love you, Sarah.
I came because after I graduated, Kimberly asked me to go, and I knew that if I didn't go then, I would never go, and I really wanted to be a part of something, and I kept going because they're super welcoming people, and you don't ever want to leave when you meet them.
I found out about it, I'm pretty sure, through Matt. I feel like I've been friends with you longer than like when I started coming, but I don't really know when that began.
I think you graduated straight out of youth and then came the following weekend.
Okay. The reason I kept coming is they just built a community where we are very authentic with each other. We don't like put on this church face where we come and just do churchy things for the sake of churchy things. We come in and really get to know each other. We develop relationships with each other. And I've encountered personal and real discipleship in the group.
Honestly, I don't really remember how I found out. I just knew I started coming at some point. And honestly, what kept me coming was it gave me like a great place just to plug in the church. And like Dawson was saying, the authenticity and just, you know, just being around like people that are being real. You know, we're all in the 20s, figuring our lives out, getting started with things, and just you know, getting things moving.
The first time you ever came to my house, we had just moved, and Kimberly called your parents and said, we're going to have a inflatable water slide. And so y'all came in swimsuits and towels, but we never actually ordered it. So it never showed up. But But we're glad you came, and definitely glad you came back.
So I found out about it pretty much the first time I came to Grace House. I arrived, I didn't know anyone. I met Matt. Matt just pretty much allowed me to come to his home and have dinner. And that's pretty much where it all started. I stayed because it's so refreshing as well. you know, moving to a new area without family or friends, you're pretty much staying alone. And so every Friday night, when you can actually laugh with people and just see people, it's it's perfect and wonderful.
So Christopher, I'm thinking some of these people may think you're from South Alabama. Would you mind telling them where you're from?
South Africa.
So he drove a long way to his first small group.
So I graduated straight out of youth and started going to 20-somethings. And the reason I stayed, I'd say it's getting out of high school. I've heard about it where you just don't really stay in contact with your friends all that much after you get out of high school. So, I mean, just starting those relationships right after high school ended, really, it built up strong relationships. And now, I mean, I love these people. I mean, they're like my group. So, yeah.
One of my favorite things with Davis is, so we dismiss small group usually between 8:30 and 9. And so we just let everybody know you can hang out if you want to, or you can hang out as long as you want to. Well, Davis wasn't aware that we have an after-hour small group. And this was an unintentional thing. People just won't leave. So, and so his first time there, he asked, so Davis and Dawson are brothers. And so he asked Dawson, he goes, do people just stay here the whole time? Like they don't go home? How long is this supposed to last? He's like, you can go home whenever you want to. He's like, okay. So, but now Davis is an official member of our after-hours group. So, it's, you know, first of all, I love you guys. You're very kind with your words, and I appreciate it. You know, and thank you for not just coming, but thank you for staying. And so, and I just want you to know, this probably represents about half of what we usually have. But these are the courageous ones that are willing to come up here tonight. So thank you for being courageous. Now, they're clapping for you, Leah Littrell. So thanks for being courageous. I said they're clapping for you. So second thing I want to ask is simply this. So each generation is unique. We know this all the way back. We can go back in Scripture, and we can talk about in Egypt, right, when in the days of Moses. We can look at that scenario, and we know that the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And they went through things, right? They were slaves, and they encountered external freedom. And they're a generation that had to not only learn how to be externally free, but they had to learn how to be internally free. And we can read those scriptures and know that it was not an easy process. But that's a generation that had to learn how to handle that. There's a next generation that had to learn how to possess the promised land and move in a whole different kind of strategy and foresight and things of that nature. You know, we can also go into the New Testament and see when the book of Matthew begins, Israel is under Roman occupation. That just means that the government of Rome had sent their armies in and had occupied Israel. And so they're dealing with those things as the people of God, what it's like to be oppressed, and they're hoping for a Messiah, but they're expecting a military Messiah, and then what they get is Jesus. And Jesus says over and over again, I did not come to build a kingdom like that. He came to deliver people, set them free on the inside, and shift the entire narrative of what people believed and thought. But again, I just point that out to show you there's generation after generation that has unique things they have to overcome. You know, we have multiple generations that are here tonight that have overcome things that I never had to even think about. And if I were to ask each of you, you could point that out very specifically, what your generation had to fight for and overcome. There's some wars, there's Great Depression, there's the age of technology, there's many things that have shifted. And this generation, no different, has their own set of things they're having to fight through and overcome. And so I just want to ask you, like, what are some of the challenges that in this generation you find yourself having to overcome?
Well, I'll just speak of what I experienced as far as challenges go. But like I said, when I first moved here, you know, you're in a new area, you're alone. So you're kind of going through that process of making new friends as well as starting your first job and all of that. So it's those challenges of how do you approach it? How do you step into this adult role as well? And now the new challenges are, okay, well, how do you step into the next things in life? You know, looking for a wife and things like that. It's all this, there's so many questions of how is my life going to look? How am I going to get there? Or all of that. A large portion is also trusting God, you know, not trying to control it, but really allowing yourself to trust God and allow Him to lead your life. And so just really growing in that, really, as for me personally.
I think to add to what Chris said, with all the challenges and the questions of life, like, you know, obviously your 20s are big transition years. And so with all the questions of what am I going to do, you know, looking for a wife and all that stuff, you also have to add on to that social media platforms where you're comparing yourself to everyone else. And so I think a big challenge that I see in my generation is, you know, you see these people posting on social media and think they have it all together too because they only post the pretty parts. And you're having to compare yourself to, you don't have to, but it's very easy to fall into comparing yourself to everyone else around you. And I know for me, I get super ambitious and feel like I should be way ahead of where I am right now. And then I have to like actually fall back and go like, I have a wife. I have a place to live. I have a steady job and stuff like that. And really be thankful for the ways that God has blessed me with that kind of stuff.
I agree with what Dawson said. I was thinking the same thing on comparison because I just thought about myself. I just graduated college almost a year ago. It was last May. And it was just immediately, I just felt this pressure of like, I got to find a job, got to do something with my degree. And I think Matt was the one that kind of encouraged me. It's like, don't be in a rush. You don't have to like start your career right now. And it scared me because that's not what people typically do. It's, you know, you graduate and you get a job. And that is something that's hard, is doing things that aren't the norm or the typical thing, but it was the right decision because I decided to spend 2 months in Guatemala on a missions internship, and I know now that if I had tried to find a job out of college, I wouldn't have landed the right job because the job that I have now wouldn't have been available back in May, and so it just shows the goodness of God and just how He is always guiding us when we put Him first and follow Him.
I would like to also tag on to what Dawson said. I feel like with social media comes like a lot of voices, just in general, like working at the university. There are so many people trying to talk to our generation, whether it's like the older generations, the teens coming up, everybody has an opinion. Yeah, and so there's so much noise with, like, the media, news, social media, where we just kind of feel like, what do we do? We're not enough. Where do we go from here? Because none of it makes sense.
Oh, okay. So kind of what Mary Grace said, my 20s have not been like what I guess everybody else's have been. I went to college for a year and a half, really 2 years, and thought I knew what I was doing. I was going to be a respiratory therapist. I was going to, like, I knew exactly what classes I needed to take. And at the end of the first year, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I cannot watch people die. I cannot have to do CPR on them. Like, that is not for me. And in that decision, that was in, like, 2015, I think,
the Lord definitely had me prepared because I would have hit COVID being a respiratory therapist in the thick of it all, like completely probably would have burnt out, quit my job. So I switched to social work, and even 2 years into that, I told my mom one day, I was like, I think I need to drop out. Like, I don't really know what's going on. And both my parents are educators and whatnot, so it was probably like, oh, my gosh, are you sure? And I know we had several conversations of like, are you sure this is what you want to do? And I was like, no, I'm not sure. But I just do not feel peace about going back in the fall. So I did 3 years of like supervision at Sam's Club, which honestly I didn't know at the time, but like kind of probably matured me in a lot of ways in how I handle the public, how I handle others, like coworkers, that kind of thing. Because now I work very heavily with the public. And so one summer, like UNA called and was like, we'll give you a discount if you come back. And I was like, oh, no, like I'm not going back for social work. I'm not doing it. And sure enough, mom was like, maybe you should just call them. And so I did. And, I mean, like I ended up finishing like pretty close to the top of the class, and which was very scary. Because having been out 3 years, I was like, I cannot do this. I cannot write a paper. I can't do math. I can't do any of it. But I excelled, like, truly. And that's, like, with the Lord's help, I'm sure. But it was definitely not, like, Sarah went straight into school, straight into nursing, straight into her job. And I was very much like, I don't know what is going on. I'm just working. I'm just, you know, trusting the Lord, truly. And it was a big step to, like, say, yes, I'll go back. Yes, I'll move back in with my parents at 26. Yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do this. And that I met in that internship has helped me to get the jobs that I've had. So I definitely think it's just been a season of, like, trying to figure out in the last few years of, like, okay, can I hear the Lord's voice? Is this what he's telling me to do? Okay, yes, I trust myself enough to know that I can hear his voice. So
just to recap, changed what you wanted to major in, dropped out, went to work. A college called you for a discount option
20%.
To come back, and you ended up in an internship that was amazing and found something you really enjoy doing. That doesn't sound like a Jehovah's sneaky moment at all.
In hindsight, no.
Right. So this is something I actually want you guys to kind of hone in on, if you will, if you'll indulge me for a moment. There's a tremendous amount of pressure that gets put on 20-year-olds. I mean, we start asking them at 18. Any questions what we ask people at 18?
What are you going to do for the rest of your life?
What are you going to do for the rest of your life? The rest of your life. Like, think about that from now. Like, what kind of pressure that generates? What do you want to do? Like, if I ask you right now, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? Is there a tiny bit of anxiety that just kind of hits you like, oh, if I had to make that decision now, it feels stressful, right? But it's something that does sit on them quite heavily. And they're trying to make those decisions with about this much information, right? And so with Mary Grace, when she was asking that question, I was like, hey, it's fine. It's fine. Things will work out the way, you know. And, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is that he uses all things for the glory of those who love him. So if you wonder if it's not good yet, he's not done with it. And so we take the, you know, a lot of what we try to do for them is take the pressure off, take the stress out of it, and be like, listen, just trust the Lord. Learn to have faith. Learn to walk led by the Holy Spirit. Learn to not be led by fear. And just trust the Lord. And we have testimonies up here of how that's played out. And there's also some things that I don't think some of us realize when we talk about a generation of people that we're asking that question, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? I want to give you, you know, because I asked them to kind of share with you some of the struggles of this generation. And I just looked some stuff up today so you would have a little bit of a grid for it. And I'm all for college. Kimberly and I both went to college. I'm grateful for my college degree. You know, I'm grateful for the experiences I have there. And for those that want to go, I encourage going. But I want you to know that it's probably not as financially feasible as you may think it is for the average 19-year-old that doesn't have a job. So the average federal student loan debt is $37,574. That's per borrower. That's at an interest rate of between 5 and 15%. And many of college students are paying that back themselves. They don't have somebody helping them foot that bill. And so, like, I just want you to know, like, those are things that often come up, and they're very stressful when they're like, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? You should go to college. You should, right? And they hear that, so they take on almost $40,000 of debt with no income and no idea and this much information on what they should do for the rest of their life. And I applaud this group of people because that not only have they challenged themselves in many ways, but they have overcome in many ways. You know, and they talk about technology and things of that nature. And I want you to hear this. There is a woke construct that they are fighting off every time they walk into a college building, unless they go to a private school. And so when they're talking about social media and going back to school, they're paying, many of them, a lot of these have really done things well and paid as they've went and done. I'm so proud of this group, right? But I just want you to know from a generation standpoint, like, if they go to college, they're taking on almost $40,000 of debt and they're being indoctrinated with things that are anti-gospel. And this is a generation that's being pursued online by other modes of thinking. And so I'm going to ask this real quick. Like, what are you doing and what have you done? Like, what have we been doing together that has helped us hold the line of the gospel, your identity in Christ, right? Because that's a lot of this, like being pushed and pulled in so many directions. Now, many of you have found your careers, and some of you are in pursuit of it. And some of you are really still figuring it out. And listen, I'm still figuring it out. I don't know what I want to do when I grow up either. And so, but I'm just curious, like, with everybody trying to tell you what your identity is and all these things that you're overcoming, like, what are some tools that you've learned to hold the line? You have to be first on this one.
Well, I think you guys do a good job of, like rooting everything that we talk about in Scripture. So I guess that we know it's the truth. So, like, obviously, the Word is the truth. So anything that you use out of the text would be referencing the truth. So if we have questions, I think it's a very, open environment. Like, if we were like, oh, well, my friend said this, and I was kind of questioning whether or not that was the truth. You guys always, even you don't even have your Bible, you always just can, like, spit Scripture out to, like, be like, well, the Word says this, which my parents do it too. So, I mean, it's just how it is. But I appreciate that you just have it. You can tell that it comes from the overflow of your heart. So I think I feel comfortable in our group, like, either one asking it in a group setting, like, oh, well, I heard this, or I read this on the news, or this blah, 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 blah. If I'm not sure, I can come to you guys. I can ask it in group. I can, you know, if I don't know where to find it in the Word, I can ask somebody in our group, definitely, because they're like, oh, that is weird. I've never heard that, too. Let's go find out. And it's, well, this is what the Word says. This is how we interpreted the Word. You know, did you think it differently? Or, like, we have very open discussions about that sort of thing.
For me, I have literally, maybe it's probably 30 verses now, but it started with like 10 that my mom gave me. I was like super anxious right before I graduated college the second time. And I did have to flex that second degree. But I was super anxious. I was, like, freaking out. You can ask Matt and Kimberly. I'm pretty sure I told them about 5 times leading up to graduation that I did not want to be a nurse, and I had no idea why. I just spent 16 months doing it. And my mom was like, here, these are the verses that I use. And so I started, like, she had them, like, maybe look them up, and she had them on flashcards, and I would go through them there in my car door. And so when I got anxious, like, before a test, I would just pull them out and, like, flip through them. And then Matt made a video of him, like, reading the verses so that I could listen to it in the car on the way to school. And probably since then, Kimberly, if I like freak out because I'm like, I'm such a bad nurse, I forgot to do this, she'll send me like a whole paragraph of like, well, this is true, and this is true, and this is true, and no, you're not, and this is true. And I mean, my parents do the same thing, but like to really rely on two people who were 3 years ago strangers for that sort of thing is really nice. And I feel like everybody in the group has that relationship with them. They're texting people constantly throughout the week. How are you? Like, remember this. The Lord says this about you, da-da-da. So it's really easy to remember truth and where we're standing when you have two people like that.
Number one, I would love the Matt audiobook, if you still have that.
It's on YouTube. I'll send it to you.
Is it? Amazing. Okay, I'll save it. Number two, I feel like a lot of the time when I'm on social media and I see all these things that I know are not right, and you look in the comments and everybody's, oh, they're like all agreeing with it, and you're like, why is everybody agreeing with it? I feel like it really helps to go every single week and be reminded what is truth and know that everyone there also knows what's the truth, and if I even have a doubt, then Matt and Kimberly are definitely going to tell me what's the truth.
I do want to point this out too. It's a lot easier for people to know or to listen to what you say when you share your struggle, like your real struggle in finding that, right? Again, they've kind of come up in a social media culture, so They've seen a lot of people be fake. Mm-hmm. And so when they can, you know, if you're looking for ways to partner in this generation values authenticity at probably the absolute highest level because they've been told things their entire life from people who just want them as a marketing option, who just want their attention for clicks, who have ulterior motives in every direction. And so what they value more than anything is your authentic struggle and how you landed somewhere. And so that's how building relationships works, to where I think it has generated trust with all of us that when we say this is how we got there, we don't mind sharing the ugly part of how we got there.
Obviously, one way to overcome that, hold the line in our culture is obviously with the word. I think a very practical step for me has been having meaningful and lasting relationships. meaningful and lasting relationships. I'm naturally just a people person, when I surround myself with people who I know are also digging in the Word themselves, I can have conversations with them that. Where I don't have to, because we live in a culture where we have to have all the answers. Like we there's a pressure to have all the answers, and in this group and with some of my good friends that aren't necessarily part of this group, I can have conversations with them where I don't have all the answers, and I can ask questions. I can ask genuine questions, and be, again, going back to the authentic thing, I can be authentic. And so I think that's something that I have very much valued with this group is we always come to their house and fellowship and have a good time, but we really just discuss things. We discuss real-world problems and how we are to overcome those problems as Christians. And so I think that's been how I hold the line, is having people to help me hold the line.
honestly, for me, what's been really helpful is, I think it was it Leah or Micaiah, when y'all said, it's like a good end cap on the week, like it's a good, I think it was Leah, because it's a good, like, it kind of like, no matter how, you know, awesome or rough or awful your week has just been, it's a great, you know, end cap on the end of the week. It's kind of, you know, reminds you what's real, what's authentic, what God says, not what people say, what your week has said, how you feel because of your week. It reminds you what's real. Yeah. And that's really helped me. And plus what Dawson said, the meaningful relationships, because, I mean, at one point, I really had a big struggle with that before I started being in this group and being in other groups on campus. When I didn't have as many meaningful relationships, you know, it's just kind of hard because you just kind of feel like you're struggling on your own. Even if you do have God, you still have those days where you feel like you're on your own. And so that's really helped me hold the line.
Yeah, for me, it's also intimacy with God, just knowing who you are to Him, being able to talk to Him. That's definitely helped me to hold the line and know His word, being able to apply it. And of course, just on this whole group, I mean, we're all so different. That's one of the amazing things about us, and we've all been able to be friends. It's amazing to think that we can be ourselves and not have to match to one of the, like, there's no small group in the group. All of us are one big happy group. And that's amazing to think that we can be ourselves and that's okay. We can have a bad day and be okay. We can have a good day and still be okay. It's just, it's wonderful to know that. And to brag on Matt and Kimberly as well, just, they have such an amazing way to work their way into your heart quickly. I mean, I really regard them as family. They always will be family to me. And just, you know, like they were saying earlier, with social media giving us so much information and so on and so forth, and some of it is really good, some of it is bad, and you've got to test it out. Having such amazing people like Matt and Kimberly in your life and the rest of the group where you value their words so highly, their advice so highly, and knowing that their relationship with God is so deep, so intimate and good, that they spend time in the Word, you can look at their advice and really take it seriously, really take it to heart. So when they tell you something about your identity, it's not, oh, everyone said that, or something like that. You're like, wow, they actually, that, you can actually really take it to heart. It's wonderful to have people like that in your life, people where you can also share the bad stuff and they'll still give you honest advice, whether you want it or not. But it's always good. It's always life-giving every single time. And they're also amazing with their words as well, which just love to everyone here and love to you too as well.
Something I know with this group is I think we're open to the point if I start thinking stupid things and I voice it, they're going to call me out on it. And that is an awesome quality to have in a group, is people that are being honest with you and will challenge you on different things, make you actually think about what you're talking about. So that's one thing I think is a good, I guess, shield in this group from the outside world.
That's awesome. So, I mean, I think all of you hit on lasting and meaningful relationships, either directly or indirectly. And listen, and we talked about this in group not long ago, but the longest study that Harvard ever did lasted over 80 years and had over almost 600 participants. And the entire purpose of the study was to find out what created a happy life. And so it was such a long study, they actually had to have people in charge of it change over, because it was a long time. And so I'll spare you all the details of it, but it's fascinating if you want to look it up. But the thing they came to that they realized mattered more than anything else is people that lived a happy life, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of race, creed, color, any even health, was the people that had lasting and meaningful relationships lived happy lives. And I find it interesting because that's exactly what the gospel commissions us to do, is to have a healthy, lasting and meaningful relationship with God and a lasting and meaningful relationship with the people around us. If we can learn to serve people around us, we have more lasting and meaningful lives. And I've even heard it said that Jesus' greatest miracle wasn't raising the dead. It wasn't healing the sick. It was that he had 12 friends in his 30s. So our goal for this group is that when they're 30, they have 12 friends at least. And so thank you all for indulging us tonight. Our heart was that you would get to know our 20s. And that, I mean, a handful of things, really. I want to see a generation reach out to the other and understand them, want to get to know them, realize that, and I hope what you've gotten out of this group more than anything tonight is that they're more impressive than you thought, that the gospel has settled into them more than you thought, that they're able to articulate, that they're standing up to an onslaught of misinformation, and they're representing us as a body well. They're hungry. They're eager. They're doing the work to see this next generation launch into something that we could never have imagined. And so I hope that encourages you. But I also would encourage, I hope it encourages you to participate and partner with them when you can. And so identify with their struggle and call them on their crap. It's a good way to live, right? And so do y'all have anything you want to add at all? Do you have anything? We love you guys. They're asking me if they get ice cream for participating. Everybody gets a snow cone. But if you don't mind, just if you would, stretch your hands towards them. And we want to pray for them. Father, I thank you for our 20s represented in Grace House. I thank you for the leaders and future leaders that they are. I thank you for the future families that they will have. I thank you that you have sown a seed of your goodness, sown a seed of the gospel in their lives, so that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with power, that they have truth, they have what it takes. I thank you, Lord, that they are able to know that the lies the enemy says are not true, and that they can laugh the lies off. I thank you, God, that you are their rear guard, that you're their protector, that you go before them, that you are everything to them, that will set them on a path of success and goodness. Lord, we pray that they would not succumb to the pressure of this world, that they would not be transformed by the world, but they would be transformed by the renewing of their minds to see the kingdom of heaven launch from inside of them and overtake the world around them. I bless them. I bless their decisions that they have to make. I bless their finances. I bless their marriages and future marriages. I bless them as future parents, as leaders, Lord, that they would become who you have called them to be and that no plan of the enemy would succeed over them. In Jesus' name, we bless you guys. And thank you for being here.
Amen. Would you, yes, please stand. You guys are amazing. You did awesome. Amen. And this is so encouraging to see these young people not just including the Lord in their life, but pursuing Him. And, you know, sometimes there can be a gloomy forecast about the future of things, but when you realize that we have a generation of younger people that are passionately pursuing the Lord, that's so encouraging. So thank you, and thank you, Pastors Matt and Kimberly, for pouring into this group. And we're just excited about the destiny that each one of you carry. Before we go tonight, I'm going to ask our prayer team members just to be here in the altar area. And if you have a need in your heart, you need someone to pray with you tonight, we always want to give you the opportunity to receive ministry. We're going to have some music playing. Again, remember tomorrow night there's a regional prayer meeting. And this Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. is our monthly prayers for healing service. It's just come and go. And we're enjoying just having that available. Any of you who need prayer for healing, this is a special time where you can just come and get encouraged and be in an atmosphere just soaking worship, meditating on the scripture, and having different people to pray for you in the area of healing. And we're already seeing the Lord do some neat and wonderful things through that. But that'll be this coming Saturday morning. And if you can't come, just pray the presence of the Lord would be here to heal. If you have a need here tonight, you don't have to wait till Saturday morning. Be happy to pray with you. And I want to encourage you to pray for this young group. Pray for them. And I want to encourage you, as they are, to continue to pursue the Lord. He's not far from any of us. You know what the scripture says? From anyone on earth, he's not far. He's just one prayer away. So, Father, tonight, we open our hearts to your Spirit's voice. And, Father, I pray there'd be a yes in all of our hearts. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord. And I pray for each of you tonight that whatever your greatest need may my God supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. May he enable you to walk in the high places with him. May he surround you about with his holy angels. May his Spirit flow through you like that mighty river. And may his love that never fails, fill you to overflowing. And may you hear his voice, and may you do his bidding. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Be blessed with his grace, with his mercy, with his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The music's going to continue to play. Our prayer team members are coming forward. So if you need prayer, feel free to come up. God bless you. Thank you for being here on this Wednesday night. Hope to see you all on Sunday. Invite a friend to come with you. God's doing some neat things around here, and it's just a joy to be in the middle of it. Amen. Bless you.